I'm Uli Isalo, and welcome everyone to Jennifer Isalo's training class, this holiday season, Indulge Without Weight Gain. Jennifer, also known as the Skinny Chef, is a professionally trained chef, a healthy cooking expert, and author of Secrets of a Skinny Chef. As a former private chef for internationally known celebrities, she's one of the leading experts in teaching people how to create flavorful, delicious dishes that are also healthy, so you can lose weight without deprivation, or maintain your weight more easily. But as a professional chef, Jennifer's focus has been first and foremost on delicious, flavorful, and amazing foods. So tonight, she's going to share her secrets to indulging during the upcoming holiday season without gaining weight. She regularly shares her recipes and healthy living tips in magazines such as Self, Prevention, and First for Women, and on television programs like The Today Show, Living Well with Montel, and many other network stations. So, Jennifer, I understand that you'll be covering three broad topics on tonight's call, helping folks to eat themselves into shape and better navigate the tempting treats over the upcoming holiday season. I have to admit, that sounds quite appealing, but why don't you tell those on the call that don't know you a little bit about you, how you got started, and how you became the Skinny Chef.
Hello, everyone. It's Jennifer. I am so thrilled that you decided to join me tonight, and I'm really honored that I can share some of my personal experiences and tips with you. And I hope after tonight's call that they'll be useful to you, and you're really going to learn to love and appreciate food more. So first, I'll be sharing the ideas behind the Skinny Chef philosophy of enjoying foods that are delicious and healthy, too. But right off the bat, I want to give you a little bit of background about why I'm here talking to you and why this has become more of sort of a life pursuit that I want to share with others. And it's much more than just a job to me or even a personal passion. So let me tell you about the Skinny Chef philosophy. The focal point of it is living and eating like a skinny chef to enjoy and really get the most out of life. And I believe that the most important thing to living well is not dieting, not depriving yourself, but above all, not feeling uncomfortable or unhappy in your own skin. So everything I teach, from recipe ideas to cooking tips to exercise to celebrating foods with friends and family, has that sense of enjoyment built right into it. And with that said, enjoying life also means being healthy and eating the right foods and being a healthy weight so that you've got plenty of energy to do all those things that make you happy. And, you know, that's really the bonus to learning more about healthy cooking and following some of the tips and ideas that I'm going to share with you later on in the call. But, you know, for me growing up, it was a very different story. I had no guiding philosophy, and I have to tell you that my family really enjoyed food, and they sure did know how to celebrate with it, but we overindulged all the time. Now, I was raised by my granny in a small town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she was such a special person for me. She put love into absolutely everything that she did, and anyone who knows her would tell you that she's an amazing cook. I mean, cooking was a passion for her, and she made the most delectable foods, from homemade breads and stews, cookies and cakes, lasagna, Mexican, Chinese. She even made her own homemade grape juice. And everything she did, she would do from scratch. And her food was almost hypnotic. It was, you know, irresistible, and it was almost impossible to stop eating once she started. But unfortunately, most of my family members have weight issues, and, you know, enjoying food in our home turned into overeating most times. And, you know, overeating, eating when I wasn't hungry, eating for entertainment, and that all slowly turned into an emotional overeating problem, where I had the habit of soothing myself with food. And around the time when I hit puberty, I started to steadily gain weight around my face, especially around my midsection. And by the time I was in junior high, I was already feeling uncomfortable in my own body and feeling out of place. Now, on top of being overweight, I was a kid from the bad side of town, attending a prep school that my dad worked two jobs to be able to afford to send me to. And a lot of the other kids definitely would let me know that I didn't belong. So, you know, many of the girls that were in my class who were beautiful and thin and confident, and, you know, while I just watched myself steadily gaining weight and feeling more and more unaccepted. And, you know, things didn't really start to turn around for me until I got into grad school and really got tired of what I saw in the mirror and how I felt inside. So that's when I took it upon myself to start to learn about nutrition and try to figure out the intricacies of how those decisions, those eating choices, affected my body. And that was really my first goal, was, you know, not so much to work on the mindset, but to work on the body and go from there. And that's when I really started to take my traditional family recipes, and now my family's Hungarian, so we did a lot of rich and heavy foods like stews and goulash and chicken paprikash with tons of sour cream and paprika. So, you know, back then that was the type of fare that I was used to eating. So, you know, my main focus was how can I tweak those recipes so that I could still enjoy them, make them healthier, and also, you know, scale back on calories and lose the weight. And, you know, being a young woman in my 20s, I wanted to do all the things that, you know, a young college girl wants to do, go out, date, go to parties, and it was tough to do that when I wasn't feeling great about myself. So, you know, slowly but surely making those changes, I paid a lot of attention to what my roommates were doing. I watched their eating habits. I had this great roommate in college. She was amazing. She was, she sang opera, and she went to the neighboring college, and she was in theatrics. And I noticed that every day around 3 o'clock, instead of, you know, snacking on that candy bar or chips, she'd be munching on a piece of fruit. And, you know, to be honest with you, I was never a big fan of fruit. But I thought, you know, I'm gonna check this out. I'm gonna give it a try. So instead of eating that candy bar, I started swapping over to fruit, and I started to go, you know, get skim milk instead of whole milk. And I noticed that over several months, I dropped a few dress sizes. And I will never forget the first time I looked at myself in the mirror and how I felt. I felt beautiful. I had more energy. It was a very special time for me. So, you know, over the next 2 years, I had lost around 30 pounds, and I felt great. I felt like a teenager again. I was in my 20s, and, you know, I noticed that, you know, the guys I never dated until I was in my 20s, I noticed that guys were starting to pay attention, and I was starting to have a lot more self-confidence. And I think for me, you know, of course, it's really healthy and wonderful to be the right weight, but at the same time, feeling good in your body gives you a confidence that nothing else in the world can give you. And, you know, I promised myself that I planned I would never gain that weight back. And in fact, you know, I wasn't worried about it because the progression had been so slow, and I learned so many tips and techniques along the way. But I think the two most important lessons that I learned were, one, cook at home, and that's a biggie. Because unfortunately, when you're eating out quite a bit, it's very hard to gauge how many calories are in things. Even if your taste buds are super, you know, tuned to salt, it's pretty tough to know how much fat is in something, even if the portion size seems small. So cooking at home is just key because you know what goes into your food. There's no mystery there. And then the second rule that I really internalized, and was something that has been tough for me growing up as an emotional overeater, is only eat when you're hungry. And when I followed those two rules, everything else just seemed to fall into place. So after that, how did I become the skinny chef? Well, I was well on my way to being skinny. I had that part down. But as my self-confidence grew, I knew that there was something else missing in my life. And I think once you feel great and look good and you gain that confidence, shooting for your dream or trying to achieve more than you're doing in your current life seems a lot more accessible. And that's what happened to me. And, you know, over those past 10 years when, you know, I was learning more about nutrition, I'd actually moved to New York City with my husband. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I knew that I always wanted to do something creative, but I never had the courage to go for it. And around that time, I thought, you know, I think now's the time. I was just turning 30, And I remember the day perfectly. I was sitting there with my husband, and we were sipping a glass of wine. I had just cooked this fantastic meal. And, you know, I had a bad day at work. I worked in an office. I was basically someone who was filling out a lot of forms. I had an administrative job. And I looked over at him and I said, you know, honey, I'm just not happy in what I'm doing now. And I really want to do something that feeds my soul and something that, you know, I'm going to wake up in the morning and say to myself, I just can't wait to get to work today. And I looked at him across the dining room table, and he looked at me, rolled his eyes, and he said, I know you want to go to culinary school. And I was, you know, at the time I was still a little bit nervous about enrolling, and, you know, to hear somebody else who's so close to you just, you know, state your dream like that was magical to me. And when I heard him say it, I was like, yes, I do. And, you know, we both were sort of unsure in the beginning, and I took that first plunge. I went to culinary school. I visited, I graduated from the Institute of Culinary Education, which is located in Manhattan. It's on 23rd Avenue, or 23rd Street and 6th Avenue, and it's just a terrific bunch of people. And I went down there, sat in on a class, and it was such a, just a magical day for me. It was as if everything in my life had changed, and I started attending school 2 weeks later, and I was on fire. I'd get up every day, I'd go to class, I was learning wonderful things about food. The instructors were fascinating. I was just eating up every moment of it. And I think, you know, getting my health under control and getting my weight to a good place allowed me to pluck up the courage to do that. And then shortly before I graduated, with the program, everyone has to complete an externship before they can get their diploma. And essentially, you have two choices. You can work in television or media, or you can work in a restaurant kitchen. And I think at the time, I really, you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with my diploma. I had an idea that maybe I'd work in a bake shop or, you know, do something small scale. But I thought, you know, I'd really love to see what's going on inside New York City restaurants. And, you know, that was sort of like the next step for me. And I picked up my knife bag and I walked into one of the top restaurants in Manhattan. At the time, I didn't know it, thank goodness, because I probably would have turned around screaming. But it turned out to be a wonderful restaurant that specialized in wine, and I started to intern there. And marvelous opportunities came after that. The first opportunity was to work in the prep kitchen. And that impressed the sous chef, and he was able to hook me up with an additional internship, which was with a Food Network chef, Tyler Florence, and I was able to work on his cookbook. And that was when I had my first taste of what it was like to do food styling and write recipes. And shortly after that, I was able to get a private chefing job with a wonderful family. It was a very busy working single mom who also happens to be a famous photographer, but at the time when I interviewed, I didn't know that. And I went into her house, and here she is with a three-year-old and telling me that she herself has struggled with weight and she didn't want her daughter to grow up with the same issues. And so I ended up working for Annie Leibovitz for over a year and a half part-time. And then I went on to food styling, where I worked as a food stylist on magazines and print, which was a wonderful experience to learn about the visual, the creative aspect of color and composition, and what makes food really appealing to the eye. And, you know, and that also fits into the Skinny Chef philosophy about making food fun and entertaining and exciting. And then, you know, after I did the food styling, I decided that it was time to learn all the ins and outs of recipe development. And that's when I interned with an author who specializes in whole grains, and I started to learn a lot more in depth about nutrition. And then I did extra internships following that with Joy Bauer, who works on the Today Show and her book, Food Cures. And Joy was just such an inspiration and a marvelous person to talk to. And I had to do quite a bit of research. Her book on food cures is fascinating. It's really preventative eating for different disorders, and that's where I started to really fine-tune a lot of my nutrition knowledge. And after that, I took on another private chef job. It was the last job I took working with a family which happened to be the Seinfelds, and that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I got to consult on Jessica Seinfeld's book, Deceptively Delicious, and after that I was offered my own book deal, which was, I think, another, you know, real dream of mine, but it was more of a fantasy. I didn't ever expect to actually be able to come out with my own book, Secrets of a Skinny Chef. And I've been consulting and writing with magazines and working on other books ever since. So that's really, you know, the path that I've taken.
If you're just dialing in, you're in Jennifer Isolo's training class this holiday season, Indulge Without Weight Gain. And I want to remind everyone that you can download Jennifer's handout for tonight's class from her site at skinnychef.com/handout. That handout has the most important points from the call, plus the recipes Jennifer will be sharing with you in just a few minutes, as well as additional resources that we probably don't have time to discuss tonight. So you might want to download it right now or right after the call at skinnychef.com/handout. That's skinnychef.com/handout. So, Jennifer, you've developed quite an extensive background in creating healthy recipes and dishes that are also flavorful, delicious, and easy to prepare. Why don't we start with the first topic that you wanted to discuss, ditch the diets.
Right. Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I love the concept of ditch the diets because it's exactly how I feel, and it's a common thread through everything I've done over the last 7 years. And also, ditch the diets is really the way I live. So that's why I decided to develop a program that you could just, you know, become a member and have the whole experience right there and have my help as well. So let me back up and go through the basics because I want to make sure that everyone understands why so many diets fail and how people can stop their weight from yo-yoing up and down. Because, you know, I've been there, I've experienced it, I've certainly tried many diets and, you know, the one food diet in my youth to try to get control of my weight, and none of them ever worked. So, you know, once you understand the basics of why diets fail, then you're on your way to improving your chance for serious weight loss and weight loss and, you know, weight that stays off. So first off, let's talk about diets and dieting. Most people have it in their mind. They've got to lose weight no matter what, and that's the big goal. And what ends up happening is they end up changing simply everything they eat, when they eat it. Maybe, you know, they end up forcing themselves to eat only certain types of foods or foods that aren't different. And then they find themselves in a situation where they're at their favorite restaurant or they're at grandma's house or, you know, their kids have something that they can't resist. And then, you know, they feel like they're a failure. And, you know, let's face it, many diets are so hard to sustain in the long run. They are designed just to lose weight the quickest way possible, and you always have this mental state of feeling deprived. And many times, too, I think with the portion sizes, you end up feeling hungry. And I don't know about you, but I know when I'm hungry, I'm a little irritable. So it's no wonder that dieting is tough. And, you know, the diets fail because they don't fit your lifestyle. They don't address your cravings. They make you feel terrible if you gain the weight back or if you can't follow the rules. So during dieting, you might feel cranky because you can't have what you want. And another thing I notice is a lot of people tend to skip meals so that they have that issue of hunger or maybe their blood sugar drops and they feel woozy. And then it comes to the point where they end up having that one bad snack attack or they're hitting the vending machine and they just feel like it's all over for them. But, you know, the Skinny Chef philosophy is you can enjoy almost any dish under the sun. And what I'm saying is that you should stop focusing on diets and weight loss and just focus on the food itself, how it tastes, and how you can make what you crave, what you want to eat at home the healthy way. And once you do that, you're responsible for what goes into your food, with my help, of course. And, you know, you start to learn about portion size and what types of foods and dishes make you happiest, but you learn how to make them with really healthy ingredients. And then suddenly it's not about this diet, that diet, pills, and, you know, all these this crazy business. It's about eating the kinds of dishes and foods that you like every day. And you just go on eating that way for the rest of your life, and you're fulfilling your cravings while you're controlling the calories and the portion size. And I really, truly believe, because I've experienced myself, it's entirely possible for you to eat your body into shape, and even through the holidays. And I know that sounds crazy and it's tough, and I know there's tons of temptations, but I'm going to give you a lot of ideas in the next segment of the call just how to do that.
All right. Now, right before the call, you mentioned a free 6-part video series that you recently launched on your website at skinnychef.com. Why don't you tell us more about it?
Okay, Ditch the Diets Forever. I share in the first video, I show the number one way to enjoy healthy foods and change your habits permanently. And you'll find out what it is just by watching the video. You know, the videos are free. You do not have to buy anything. You can go on the site, watch them, learn from them. They're my gift to you. So I just want to give you a quick overview of what's in the other videos. In the second video, I tell you how to snack, how to cope, and then the third video, I go on to explain how to cope and stop emotional overeating. Also, how to set yourself up for success as you start on this path towards weight loss and towards changing your mindset and your habits permanently. And then in the last video, I'll tell you how to maintain your weight once you've reached your goal. So, you know, the benefits that you're going to get from these videos will be the tools that you can use each and every day. Do you know things like why one eating mistake could be sabotaging your efforts without even knowing it? So you might just be making one silly mistake that is keeping you from losing 10 pounds, and it might come off just like that in a month. So I talk about things like combating the repeat offender. And the repeat offender is that soft spot or that trigger food or that thing, you know, you think you can't resist something that you eat on a regular basis and what that means to your waistline and to your health.
Great. So the address is skinnychef.com/handout. So why don't we move on to the second topic of today's class, Shop Like a Skinny Chef. So what's so special about shopping like a skinny chef?
Well, I believe that eating cheaper and healthier becomes easier when you know what to buy at the grocery store and how to stock your pantry. So in this next section, I want to talk to you about what makes, you know, what are the best ways to prepare for healthy holiday shopping so you can eat more nutritious foods without packing on the pounds. So, you know, really the general principles for your pantry, fridge, and freezer are just easy swap outs. You don't have to go to health food stores or specialty stores to get these items. It's really easy. So we're going to start with your fridge first. First and foremost, vegetables are where you're going to get so much incredible nutrition. We all know that. We've all heard it before. But I know, you know, you hear a lot of things about organic veggies, and I know produce can be quite expensive. But you want to start by stocking your countertop and your fridge with inexpensive vegetables, things like carrots, onions, garlic, celery, sweet potatoes, and green peppers. Those are things that you can use a base to cook with all the meals that you'll find on my website and in the Ditch the Diet program, and they're not expensive. Even some of those items, if organic's in your budget and you want to shoot for that, sometimes, you know, you go, for example, for a bag of carrots, it's going to be 10 to 20 cents more for that organic produce. So start with those items first and then work your way up. Now, specific swaps that I want to give you for the fridge. Dairy. You always want to shoot for low-fat dairy. So if you have whole milk, go for the skim. I know a lot of folks love the 2% milk, but it tends to be very close in fat to the whole milk. And that's one of those diet mistakes that people make. Now, there are some skim milks out on the market that are thicker. Most of those just have milk proteins added to them, so they're safe, but they pour and look like whole milk. And I know that can be a challenge when you have kids at home who are used to having whole milk and you switch to skim. So you might want to first switch to 1% and then off to skim. Other dairy products that are great swaps, low-fat sour cream, low-fat cottage cheese, low-fat cream cheese. Fat-free is not necessarily great because of the taste. The only time I use a fat-free product is if I have another fat source in a recipe, but I find that the reduced-fat dairy tastes almost as good as the full-fat. Next, on to the meats. So if you're going to do deli meats, and deli meats are terrific, they're really fast and easy to put together, a sandwich or a meal, always look for low sodium because you know, cold cuts can be extremely high in sodium. And then with a ground meat, I always do ground turkey. Almost all of my recipes call for ground turkey. You can cut sometimes up to 15 grams of fat out of one meal just by going for the turkey. Now, if you've got that man in your life or that lady that's a meat lover and it's hard to get them off the beef, you can always mix half and half to start. So do a half a pound of ground beef, half a pound of turkey, and gradually wean them off. Many times when I serve the Skinny Chef recipes with a turkey to my meat-loving guy friends, they do not know the difference. So, you know, test it out, check it out, see how it goes over. Next, in the vegetable section, I know a lot of folks out there like their crunchy things like celery, iceberg lettuce, and, you know, there's really nothing wrong with those vegetables, but to get real nutrition, you want to add things. I call them the Fab Four vegetables. You've got your broccoli, sweet potato, carrot, and spinach. Those four vegetables have insane amounts of nutrition, everything from vitamins to minerals. They're super versatile. Kids like them. There's so many recipes that you can work with those. So really start with your inexpensive vegetables and try to add in those Fab Four. Again, that was spinach, sweet potato, carrot, and broccoli. And next we'll move to the freezer. Now, the freezer, that can be kind of a danger spot for a lot of people because frozen meals, especially prepackaged meals, can be loaded with stuff that we want to avoid. Trans fat, sodium, saturated fat, artificial colors, artificial flavorings. I mean, there's stuff in there I don't even know what it is. But one thing that's really great for your freezer, fast and convenient, is frozen vegetables. They do not lose their nutrition. Many frozen vegetables do not contain added salt. Same thing goes with frozen fruits. Awesome for smoothies, great for desserts. You want to do those holiday pies. Many of those frozen fruits, when you defrost them, are already soft, so they're perfect for pies. Now, when you go on to your frozen treats, now frozen treats can be, you know, like I mentioned before, about the repeat offender. That could be, you know, maybe your danger zone. Frozen treats, you always want to check the label, check out how much fat is in there. I usually tend to go for something that's lower in calories, but if you can make your own frozen treats, all the better. And I've got tons of recipes on SkinnyChef.com to do that. And then next on to your pantry. Now, in the pantry, I like to put things in there that I know I can whip together healthy meals in a hurry. Because essentially, when you stock your fridge, you know, maybe you need to pick up one thing, or maybe you want to shop for the whole week so that you're ready to go. The less you have to fuss with shopping, the more time you have to cook, enjoy the food, and spend time with your family. So in the pantry, I have things like canned tomatoes that you can make so many Mexican, Italian soups. Canned tomatoes are great, and I like canned whole peeled tomatoes, but you can do the crushed as well. And then whole wheat breadcrumbs is another great thing. The kids love chicken fingers. Use some whole wheat breadcrumbs. You're going to get fiber in there. It's going to add even more crunch than the white breadcrumbs. Reduced sodium soy sauce is another great thing for marinades if you want to make a beautiful salmon dish. Olive oil, of course, that's a staple at my house. And I also like to have canola oil, and that's great for high heat cooking. Another couple items that I have in my pantry, canned beans. You know, I like to shoot for the low salt or the no salt added because a lot of canned veggies can be really high in sodium. Tuna is another item. Always look for the light tuna in spring water. That's going to be the tuna that's lowest in mercury. And then reduce sodium chicken and beef broth. If I want to make a stir fry, a quick soup, or a beautiful sauce, that's always something great to have on hand. So all these things will be covered in the handout that we were talking about before the call, but it'll also include my healthy shopping list.
Great. So everyone, the address where you can download that handout and shopping list is skinnychef.com/handout. That's skinnychef.com/handout. Why don't we move on to the third topic of today's training class, healthy and delicious ideas for the holidays. Looking ahead to Thanksgiving, what are some of the key things to keep in mind when you want to splurge, and how can we entertain more easily and healthier?
Okay, who doesn't crave rich foods? Next, I want to discuss fantastic ideas for Thanksgiving and also Christmas and Hanukkah and how you can become a star with healthy holiday entertaining tips that will help your get-togethers go a little smoother and also take the worry out of, oh my gosh, am I eating healthy? Will I gain weight? Instead of focusing on what the holidays are really about, which is having fun. You know, during the holidays, I know overeating seems almost impossible to avoid. All those plates of cookies and that extra glass of champagne and all those wonderful things that they offer you. But, you know, the first thing I do is before a holiday comes up or, you know, if I know I'm going to a party, I make a verbal declaration to myself. And sometimes I do it out loud. And, you know, at times it'll set the dogs barking, but, you know, it doesn't matter. You need to say to yourself, I do not need to eat everything in sight. I think there's sort of this, like, mentally you set yourself up like, oh, it's the holidays, I know I'm going to be bad, but you don't want to go in there with that negative mindset. You can have a piece of chocolate and really savor it. And you're going there to laugh and have a great time and eat a delicious meal. It doesn't have to be about overloading every time. So, you know, if you don't want to shout out your declaration in front of people, my advice is to, you know, say it in the shower when the hot water is running so it'll drown out your voice or when nobody's home. So, okay, I want to take two holiday recipes from my website, and they're free and available to you on skinnychef.com. And I want to talk to you about how I made them lighter, but also why they are better for you now. So the first recipe is the sweet potato and apple casserole that I do with brown sugar, and it has walnuts on top. And one thing is, we all know that sweet potatoes are fabulous for you. They're creamy, rich in texture, they're low in calories. They're lower on the glycemic index than white potatoes, and they're just naturally food to be enjoyed. But, you know, unfortunately, when you get them through takeout and, you know, you go to the place that has, like, you know, the roasted chickens, a lot of times they load them up with a lot of fat and a lot of sugar that's unnecessary that can also get you in trouble in the calorie zone. So with this recipe, what I did was I thinly sliced the potatoes and apples, and I cut way back on the sugar, and I used brown sugar, though. And instead of adding a lot of brown sugar, I cut back on the sugar and I added orange juice. Now, orange juice has sugar as well, but what's great is you're getting a little added fiber with that, and you're getting all the minerals and vitamins that are in orange juice. So whenever I do something that's sweet, I try to think, is there a sugar source, something like orange juice or molasses, for example, that has iron in it? Is there a way to get a little bit more nutrition while I'm getting the sugar? So is there a benefit? So those are the two swaps I did there. And then instead of adding a crumble topping, which a lot of time has tons of butter and white flour, I used walnut pieces that I toasted. And again, walnuts have fat, but I cut back on the portion, and walnuts are very rich in omega-3s. And omega-3 is basically just a compound that makes your brain happy. It is an antioxidant. It helps your brain function smoothly. It's great for mood. And heck, let's face it, walnuts taste awesome. So that's basically what I did to make over that. Now let's talk about just two items that are usually in that recipe that are bad and why they're a problem. Number one, butter. In traditional sweet potato casseroles, there's usually about a stick of butter in there. And you know what? I'm not against butter. I love the taste of butter. There's nothing that makes the house smell better than melted butter. But the issue with butter, especially with folks who work in health, is that butter is loaded with saturated fat. And saturated fat is the kind of fat that is solid at room temperature, and studies show they're very clear about this, is that's the kind of fat that harms your heart. So it's about the portion of the butter. If you're going to use butter, you want to scale way back. We're talking 1 or 2 tablespoons. Because you want to limit your saturated fat to about 20 grams a day, and a stick of butter is going to blow you way over that limit. The second thing that you'll find in a lot of these holiday casseroles is marshmallows. Marshmallows are ooey-gooey. They're gorgeous. They get golden in the oven, but they're loaded with sugar, and they have absolutely zero nutrition. And they have high fructose corn syrup, which is something you've been hearing a lot about in the news. And it's a sugar just like anything else, but it's in so many of the foods that we eat now. My view is if you can just have a little bit of brown sugar, it's better to go that way. And then you don't want to pump the recipe up with nutritious things like apples, vegetables, citrus. So we'll go on to the next recipe, which is stuffing. That's one of my favorite. I die for stuffing, and my granny used to make the moistest, most perfect stuffing you can ever imagine. I always told her to make double because that's what I would want to eat the next day. So I took Granny's recipe, and I'm glad she's not on this call because she would kill me, but I remade her recipe, and I found a bunch of ways to cut the calories and ramp up the nutrition without sacrificing the texture. Because to me, the best stuffing is super, super moist. So one thing I did was I took the white bread out and I put in whole grain bread. Everybody hears whole grain goodness, fiber. Well, the reason why this is important is fiber is something that is filling in your stomach. It keeps your blood sugar level, which means you're not spiking or going down. That helps to control cravings. And it helps with the release of sugars in your body. So it's a steady stream of energy, which means you're going to feel more energetic through the day. And it helps with elimination, which is also very important because who wants a puffy stomach when it comes time to take, you know, everybody gets together for, you know, time to take the Christmas photo and you're there with a puffy stomach. So that's one way I remade this recipe. Another way is I cut way back on the fat. Granny would stick a whole stick of margarine in there. So I started with olive oil since that's a really great way, a really good type of fat. And I scaled back on the amount. I just added in low-sodium, fat-free chicken broth. And she would usually use the regular chicken broth that comes in a can, which is loaded with sodium. But this is a great way, and that's something that you should always just have in your pantry, as I mentioned in the previous section. So, and then in terms of everything else, it's pretty much standard granny because she always used celery and onions and carrots, and those are things that you're going to have on hand. And I love mushrooms. I add mushrooms to mine. And again, you find the walnuts. Because I scaled so much back, so much on the fat, we have a little bit of wiggle room to add some crunch. You know, those are my tips for ramping up the nutrition, making them more slender. And these are foods that you can really enjoy every day now. You don't have to just, you know, have them during the holidays because they taste indulgent. You know, that's the idea, the Skinny Chef philosophy of enjoying, of indulging. And, you know, and they're special because you made them and they have those holiday spices and they look just like the traditional recipes, but they're so much healthier.
Great, great. Well, we've almost reached the end of this training class, and we already got a number of questions coming into our email inbox at questions@skinnychef.com. Before we get into those, I want you to know that if you have any questions either today or in the coming days, feel free to reach out to Jennifer at this email address, questions@skinnychef.com, and she will answer those questions. So the first question that came from Janet, and she's asking, what's the best way to cut fat out of my diet?
Now, fat, that's always a super hot topic when it comes to healthy eating, and I think there's a ton of misconception about fat. So first off, let me tell you, fat is not evil. We absolutely need fat for brain functions, to feel full, and to have beautiful skin. And, you know, I myself am no longer a young chicken, so I want to maintain the quality of my skin, and fat is essential for that. So, you know, when it comes to fat, it's not about cutting it out completely, it's about limiting it. Now, it depends on, of course, how many calories you burn a day, your height, whether you're male or female, and you can check out those limits if you go to mypyramid.gov. It's a great tool, and it will give you, you know, the amounts of fat, calories, and what you should have according to what weight you want to be, and, you know, you can go and look at that. But really, just to give you an idea, it's anywhere between 40 and 70 grams of fat. And, you know, grams might not mean very much to you, but when you're getting that Haagen-Dazs ice cream and you're having a cup of Haagen-Dazs, that's up to half or more than half your daily fat intake. So, you know, when I'm talking about packaged foods, that's where you need to watch out. Now, if you're talking about a tablespoon of olive oil, you have 14 grams of fat, you've got some leeway. A tablespoon of olive oil is going to be for a family of four to have a meal. And that's, you know, how my recipes are constructed. Now, the best way to cut fat out of the diet, really, honestly, is to eat at home. That's the number one way, because when you have that olive oil butter or you're doing that pat of butter or that olive oil, you know, your measuring cups, you know exactly how much fat is going into your foods. But you want to be conscious also of other fat sources, things like meat, especially red meat and cheese. There are great reduced fat cheeses on the market. My personal favorite is the part skim mozzarella, which is lower in fat than whole milk mozzarella. And the part skim melts beautifully. It doesn't get that plastic texture. It's great. Another way is to do the fridge swap, as I told you before, to go from, you know, whole milk to low-fat milk, and also to really pay attention if there's something that you eat on a regular basis. Let's say, you know, that you just die for that sandwich that you get out at that local chain store. Just Google it and find out exactly how much fat you might be shocked to see. And, you know, when you go for fat, what you're really looking for are mono and polyunsaturated. That's the kind that's fluid at room temperature. It comes from things like olive oil and canola oil, nut oils. You find that in vegetables and fruits, things like avocado, for example, and nuts and seeds. Saturated fat, that's the kind that's room temperature. That's the type that's bad for your heart. You find that in beef, bacon, butter, anything that is solid at room temperature. And then we have those trans fats, which are really bad for your health. And you find those in most packaged items and also in fast food and takeout. And again, that's why I'm so anxious to have everybody cook at home because, you know, there's nowhere to really buy the trans fat to put it in the skillet when you're making dinner at home for yourself. So that's sort of the skinny on fat. So let's go on to our next question.
So the next question comes in from Susan. She's asking, what are your tips for dealing with a sweet tooth?
Ah, sweet tooth. That's a problem, I know, because I think a lot of folks out there who have sweet tooth, they have to deal with it every day, and it's an urge that they have each and every day. And I used to be a candyholic, and I had a wicked, wicked sweet tooth. One of the things I notice people that do overdo it with sugar is a lot of times they're not getting enough water. And you might not think there's a correlation between those two things, but there are, because sometimes the body will register thirst as hunger. So the best thing for you to do is to stock up on some teas. And I have all kinds of tea suggestions on my website, but I love to do teas that actually have the fragrance of something that's sweet, like cinnamon, tea that's made with cocoa nibs. And, you know, they're all calorie-free, they're fat-free, but they're made with good spices and good herbs, and they smell amazing. And sometimes just having a tea, you know, you snap out of that craving. Another thing is to look at the sweets that you have on a regular basis and see if there's a way to make a swap. I mean, if you're having that Haagen-Dazs, and let me tell you, the caramel cone is my favorite thing that they make, and it's Haagen-Dazs, and it's great, but, you know, do they make a little fat one? Or, you know, can you swap it out for a frozen yogurt dessert that you make yourself with a real Greek yogurt that's really good for you, that has protein and a whole heck of a lot of sugar, so that you start to sort of train that sweet tooth to expect less sugar. And the less sugar you eat, the less, you know, the less you'll crave. And in my case, I managed to go cold turkey when it came to desserts. But now, you know, I'll have a teaspoon of sugar in my coffee in the morning. But, you know, in my mind, I tend to reserve sweets for a special occasion. But if you know you can't do it, it's better just to plan ahead. So let's go on to our next question.
So what do you think about fiber-added foods that I've seen on TV? Things like kid cereal and power bars. And this came in from Karen.
Oh, Karen, I think I know which commercial you're talking about. We won't name names, but it's a round cereal that's fruit flavored and has all those artificial colorings, and it has these little boys dressed up as a doctor, and it makes me feel sad because that cereal is terrible for you. You know, the whole deal with fiber is it is not hard to get fiber from regular food, regular three meals a day. Fiber you're looking at for a woman my age, my height, I'm 5'3 and 115 pounds. I need about 25 grams of fiber a day. And I can easily get that from having 4 cups of salad that is rich in vitamins and enjoying some whole grains, which means a cup of brown rice. It's really, really quite easy, you know, to get the fiber that you need in a day. You don't need these extra supplements. I mean, unless you're on a special diet with your doctor, and I tell all people before trying, you know, any program that they should absolutely consult their doctor. But, you know, fiber is in whole foods naturally, and the more you mix and match them and eat them, the easier it is to get your fiber. And, you know, one of the segments I did most recently, I did some work in Toronto, and, you know, I did a chicken salad that had artichokes in it. Artichokes are a really great source of fiber. I get the frozen ones. I rinse them in the colander. I pop them in with some grilled chicken, and I put it in a whole grain pita. And, you know, you're getting tons of fiber, over 10 grams with that meal. So you really don't need these food products. And, you know, unfortunately, I understand the food companies. They want to sell their stuff. I totally get it. But at the same time, it's just better for you just to eat real food and you know, make it at home.
Okay, so for the last question from Steve, I guess he's chuckling when you were talking about Haagen-Dazs ice cream. He says, I'm an ice cream addict. Is ice cream really that bad?
Oh, my gosh, ice cream. I know a lot of people that have a weakness for it. You know, it really depends on the brand. They vary so, so much. And, again, you want to check the serving You want to see how much fat is in it. Some of the premium ice creams, a half a cup, which is nothing. A half a cup is about the size of my closed fist, which I can eat that in, you know, in a blink. You're looking at 20 grams of fat, which could be up to a third or a half of your entire day's intake for fat. So you really want to watch it with items like that. But again, you know, there's tons of substitutes. I have a wonderful chocolate avocado milkshake that's on the website that is killer if you freeze it. And a cup of it is 169 calories. You know, and I'm telling you, it is a dessert. Absolutely, there's sugar in it, but at least, you know, you're getting some nutrients from the avocado. You don't taste the avocado. It has a delicious texture. You just throw that in your food processor, freeze it in Dixie cups. Kids love it. And you're going to save money doing that. So for all the ice cream addicts out there, I say experiment, try Greek yogurt. That is an awesome base. Greek yogurt is basically yogurt that's been strained, so it's extra creamy. Go for the 0% or the 2%. It's low fat. The full fat Greek yogurt is very high in fat, so watch out for that. But, you know, most grocery stores are carrying the Greek yogurt now. It's become really popular. And just try doing things with skim milk and fruit and go light on the sugar and experiment and make your own ice cream.
All right, so let's wrap it up here. I want to thank everyone that got on the call, and I'm glad that we were able to cover your questions. As I said before, if you still have questions, feel free to email them in at questions@skinnychef.com so that Jennifer can answer them over the next few days. Also, if you weren't near your computer during the class, don't forget to download the handout from this call, which also includes the healthy recipes that Jennifer mentioned as well as her shopping list. Go to skinnychef.com/handout. That's skinnychef.com/handout, where you can also get the free Eat Yourself into Shape video series that we mentioned during the call. So that's it from my end. Jennifer, do you want to conclude the call?
I want to thank you all so very much for joining me today on this call. And my ultimate goal is to equip you with tools and the mindset to be healthier, to be happy, and to enjoy food. I really hope this is the start to living a better life for you and to having fun with food. You know, I hope this call will help to empower you so that you can feel more fit and to follow your dreams. Thanks so much.